I'm going to show you one of those pretty, oops, beautiful blue rectangle. Hey. Imagine that, just put in certain equation and that all those colors come out. I wanted to share with you the idea of resting in God's presence. There's a fact of life that the world in which you live is actively evil and will cause you endless difficulties. It doesn't come a place. I mean, there'll be a lulls in your life, but there'll never be a time in your life while you're in this world where you are not troubled by something. Endless difficulties, endless heartaches, death, disease, problems, all these things happen. Sometimes it happens on a smaller radius, sometimes a larger one, but it happens all the time. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. To deliver us, to rescue us, to save us from this present evil world. The present meaning that which is right at hand. And evil is true wickedness. So how do we deal with that? We can't escape the world. We're not supposed to escape the world. We're supposed to witness to the people of this world. We don't take the attitude of the monk who says, I will move away from all known evil and live in my little monastery cell. The old reformer Martin Luther tried that, and he said, it didn't work. I brought the world right in with me. He knew what was in his heart. So as a Christian, when you have been saved, you have a resource unseen by man. I thought it was interesting in the parable of the sower and the seed that two of the plants didn't have root, but two of the plants did, and it made me think about the image of a Christian being like a plant, because Christ points out that the plant, the seed that grew on the stony ground, it seemed to grow up. It seemed it had an image of life, but he says it had no root. It had no root. So you and I, as a Christian, are pictured as a plant that has roots. And I was thinking about the roots. That's unseen to man. It's hidden underneath. And it's actually a source of a resource of nutrition, of life, hidden from the eyes of man. So that the plant that grew up and didn't have a root, the sun burned it up. The one that did have the root, the sun, be the same sun, which he said is the tribulation, problems. It made the good plant grow because of the hidden resources unknown to man. And we're like that. We have those hidden resources in Christ. There is an oasis. There's a cushion of calm at the center of your life. You have it. In quietness, return to this soothing center as often as you can. I was mentioning to my wife over our luxurious Arby's dinner that our words color things. We think of things differently because of what we say. So the time you spend with God in a day, you could call it your study time. And if you call it that, it's emphasizing the academic nature of what you're doing. You could call it your devotional time. And all these are completely acceptable. And devotion refers to being devoted and taking this time to love the Lord, to appreciate Him, to sing praises, to acknowledge His glory. But today I'd like for you to think about that time alone with God as your quiet time. This is coming out of the storm into a secure room and having a quiet time. A time for your mind to be at ease. For you to, as the songwriter says, to be come to the rock that can't be moved, that protects you from the sun and the storm and everything else. A time of quietness. A time of meditation on the words of God. It's not that it's so hectic that you're in a panic. It's a quiet time. It's a time to take a breath, to relax, and to rest in Him. At the heart of your life, we talk about the heart, you know, and we know that when we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about that muscle that keeps pumping blood. I mean, we do mean that from time to time, but when we say, I ask Jesus into my heart, we didn't inject Him into that muscle, you know. What we're saying is, the heart is like the heart of a tree. It's the center core, not a particular organ. And at that core, at that depth, this is where God resides in the Christian. The Holy Spirit actually within you, in the depths. And the quiet time is to touch that, not get in touch with yourself and all these things that the world tells us, but to come to that place where God resides, and there fills you with the fruit of His Spirit. God's love, joy, peace. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Think of what the world is doing to you, what the world is threatening you, and come in and find love and joy. The world's trying to take your happiness, but they cannot steal your joy. It's already within. It wants to make you angry, warfare, peace in that quiet place. So, are you needy? Don't go to the world for sustenance. It offers nothing of true value. Search everywhere for it, see? Search the amusement park for happiness, but you will not find joy. Go to alcohol and drugs to get rid of your anxiety. You'll find that when that wears off, you're worse off than you were. Irishman said, the man drank champagne all night and he woke up in the morning to find it wasn't sham pain anymore. It was true pain. The idea of the world is that it offers answers like psychological counseling and all these things, but they have no answers. Go instead to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly, plainly unto the throne of grace to find what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace. Mercy means that God is not holding us accountable for our sin. Grace is giving us the ability to do the righteous thing, to help in time of need. So on the outer world, it's the time of need. We go to the throne of grace. Just you and God, a very private thing, ultimately private. You don't even have to speak out loud. When I'm by myself, I like to speak to God out loud. I like to talk in a conversation. It helps me organize my thinking that way. But that's absolutely personal. It's your inner heart communicating with God. So go to Him. Also recognize that because of this situation, the world is a present evil world. We're trying to find rest, respite, encouragement, the readiness to continue our duty. Then we have to recognize that the strength to do that is not automatically in our flesh. How often I've heard an evangelist preach, and it came down to this: you're not trying hard enough. If you have tried and failed, you ought to repent, get down here and repent and try harder. Well, I suppose that's a preaching that's guaranteed success, because none of us have conquered the problems, and we've certainly not conquered it in our flesh, and we didn't accomplish it by trying harder. It's a cycle that promotes failure. So come to God with a full recognition of true dependence. Dependence. And have your life filled with true answers, true substance. This is what he said, Christ said to the Laodicean church, Revelation 3, 17 and 18. Here's what they thought: because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm independent, see? I have need of nothing. He says, and knowest not that the reality of the situation is that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The story of the emperor's new clothes, you know. So proud, the clothes were so fine that, you know, only the pure of heart could see it. And he didn't see it, but he wasn't going to tell anybody. He couldn't see it. And verse 18, Christ says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's the true value. And where do you find that? Only coming in that quiet time to rest in His presence. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It's important to recognize that the only way we can get the things of true value is to come to Him. Step out from the fight. Step out from the turmoil. Rest in Him. And what happens is that your weakness is swallowed up with His power. And I think I failed to put this on the PowerPoint, but 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Here's what He is to us: Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So what are the two things you need to continue the fight? You need power and you need wisdom. And where will you find that? You see, not in the books of intellectualism, and not in the power of self-will, but in the humble dependence, recognizing our need, coming to Christ. He, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, access to us. So true Christian love does not dwell on self. When we're in the world and things are bad, we begin to say, oh, it's so bad for me. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. And all those sentences start with I, you see. But true Christian love lives a life beyond self. Saw one of those emails, says, I've lived long enough to know that even though I have a pain, I don't need to be a pain. Why should I be a pain to others, you know? I've never been a beautiful person. I went over to the Golden Corral, and I don't know, my thoughts can be read on my face, I guess, but I was just noticing how the cashier was being very careful and helping people and so on. And she looked up, and all of a sudden she smiled, big smile, and she said to me, "What a beautiful smile." I, really? It's not about me. It's about God and others. And even on the smile of your face, you can communicate those things. So when you find all the troubles and all the trials, but your completeness is in Jesus, you're taken care of. You're okay. You're set for life. And life is set for eternity. So now, you don't have to keep looking at self. You can look to others. You can help them. You don't have to use them to meet your own needs. Someone had a clever turn of phrase. He said, some people love things, and to get those things, they use people. We ought to love people and use things. First John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. See, coming to that place where we make contact with God in that quiet place within, and His love, His actions to help others, is perfected in us. So tonight I say to you, live in the light of God's presence. It's a radiant presence. And that light will shine brightly into the lives of others. You don't have to work at it. It just will happen. People's lives will be brightened by your life. We saw that, went to my father-in-law's older brother's house, Lowell Pryor. He lives up here on Georgetown, about 3,300. And he's 85, and he's dying of emphysema, lung disease. And we took a meal over there, and we ate with him and had, you know, a nice conversation. I showed him some magic tricks, and his face just beaming. He was more happy just to have people stop by and spend some time with him and enjoy that as he did anything, you know. You have that ability to shine the light of Christ in the lives of others. You don't have to work too hard at it. It just happens as you love them. Comments or questions? Resting in God's radiant presence. Let me encourage you to have a quiet time, as well as a devotional time and a study time, but a quiet time. A quiet time. Every day with your Lord. All right. Well, let's